Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, who is the Christ. Amen. I really struggled with this text from Lazarus, about Lazarus this morning, from John. It's a little strange, I feel, to be preaching about a resurrection before we celebrate the resurrection. I just had to kind of get myself in the right place about it. And then it occurred to me that today this gospel reading helps us, or makes us actually, face the most closed of all doors. Today the topic is death. Here we are at the end of the season of Lent, this purple season that we've been walking through together. And here in the very center, the heart of John's gospel, we have a story of a tomb that is shut and locked, and it's sealed up. The tradition of the time, it was believed that the spirit of the person finally departed on the third day after death. So here on the fourth day, when the funeral was finally over and the finality of death was starting to fully settle in, I think for Mary and Martha, that's when Jesus comes to visit. The fourth day. The first day that it was really real. There was no chance for Lazarus to be just sleeping. No chance that it was all just a bad dream. Both Mary and Martha meet Jesus with the same words. Jesus, if you had only been there, my brother would not have died. And I wonder, how often have we used those words? Lord, if you'd only been here. Lord, if you had come when I had asked. Lord, life hurts and I ask for help and I feel like you've left me out here to suffer. Lord, I feel like it's too late. I feel like the grief is just here to stay. The door is shut and the tomb is sealed. And right here, in the middle of the road, with the shadow of death blocking out the sun, Jesus then proclaims, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." Now remember that Lazarus is very much still dead at this point. No one, least of all Mary and Martha, have any idea about what's going to happen. How could they even imagine that he might be raised again? And Jesus then makes two claims in the middle of this darkness, in the middle of this pain. He promises resurrection, which makes no sense, since it seems to be a story about death. But he also promises life. And the word here is not about a future life, but about a present one. Full and abundant and eternal and connected to the holy and right now. So he talks a little bit about the future, but especially about the present, to people who can barely see their way to lunch in the midst of their grief. They can hardly think about the present or the future. I think it's clear that no one understands how or why he can be talking like this. Because when he tells them to open the tomb, everyone is appalled. Surely, Jesus can't be serious. The smell, Jesus, of rotting flesh will overpower us. Not to mention, it's going to be traumatic for Mary and Martha, who have gone through this for days. Don't make them go through it yet again. And let's not even get into the fact that the religious leaders are here and questioning Jesus' every move, and probably taking notes and following him and reporting back to the Pharisees. So the crowd, they stare at that closed door, that stone, with the words of life that Jesus offered still ringing in their ears. I imagine them, though, unable to picture any possibility of what's on the other side. I wonder if that's exactly what we all do. Sometimes faced with a physical death, yes, but more often in the face of uncertainty or change or darkness in our lives. Everyone, I think, experiences those dark nights of the soul at some time or another, whether it's us as individuals or us as full communities. I think we look at the door and we cannot imagine what might be on the other side. All we see is something that's shut and locked, and often we give up hope. Or I think sometimes we also see that it's open just a tad, just a little bit, but we're too afraid to give it a push all the way and check out what's through there. We look, but often we're paralyzed by our choices or the possibility of risk or being vulnerable. It seems like the only way forward is to do what we've always done, to shut the door against the unknown and grieve our losses. Let Jesus' words of grace sort of like hang in the air and not get lodged in our hearts, but kind of stuck in our brains, where we can just ponder them but not live them. So Jesus stands there at the locked door of the tomb and says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He stands there and he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He looks at that tomb and he says, "Open it." Can we even imagine hearing those words? "Open it." I was imagining myself what it would be like to hear Jesus say, "Open the door." And I realized that I usually go into this story and imagine it from Mary and Martha's perspective, and those who are gathering in the fog of grief outside of the tomb. I know that fog well, and I bet many of you do as well. But what if we, the church, and we as individuals are actually hearing those words from the other side of the door? The sound is a bit muffled. We're having trouble seeing because it's awfully dark. Moving is certainly a challenge, but something is going on, something we don't really understand. And then the door is opened. Jesus calls out to us and says, "Lazarus, Angela, put your name in there. Come out. Lutherans, come out. LCH, come out. Christians, my disciples, come out of that tomb." Imagine how scary it must have been for Lazarus to wake up in the dark with the scent of death still hovering around, the shroud covering his face, binding on his hands and feet. I picture him moving slowly and uncertainly to the door, probably tripping over those bandages, really unable to see clearly. He moved toward the voice of the shepherd who calls his sheep by name, and found himself in the doorway of life, a doorway he could have never imagined, a doorway that led to inconceivable risk both for himself and for his beloved friend. It was a doorway into something that he has never existed before. No instruction manual for how to go about it, no instructions on what to do next, only the presence of Christ standing in the middle of the road with promises and tears and hope and love. Lazarus stood at the threshold, still wrapped in bands of death, and he had to make a choice to step through. Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Here we are at this last week of our Lenten journey. My prayer for you is that we each might be unbound and let go, set free for life, a life lived abundantly with a God who loves us more than we can imagine. Amen.